Please turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We will continue to look at the subject of prayer this morning, and Lord willing, next Sunday also. And this morning we're going to be looking at we need to pray for one another. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, oh how we love you so. Lord, we thank you for the blood you shed on the cross. Lord, that we can have a right relationship with you. We do love you and we thank you that you loved us first and demonstrated it at the cross. And Lord, oh, how your people need to pray. How we need to come, Lord, before you even more in these days in which we live. So Lord, I ask that as we look in your word this morning, that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, may we be attentive to prayer in our lives to a loving God because we love you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, the major purpose of prayer is to have fellowship with our holy God. That's the major purpose of prayer. And praying for one another is a great part of prayer and this fellowship that we have with a holy God. You know, prayer is so essential for having a healthy relationship with the Lord. Just as human relationships cannot be enjoyed without consistent communication, so also our relationship with the Lord in that we need to communicate often with the Lord. Does the Lord speak to us? Of course He does. You get in the Bible and His Word, I promise you, God will speak to you. And He'll speak to you in many ways, but mostly through His Word. In quiet times with Him, God will speak to you. But just like in earthly relationships, so also our relationship with the Lord, we need to pray. We need to communicate. We need to talk with the Lord. You know, most times when marriages are suffering, it's because they quit communicating. And there's many forms of communication, and the communication that we have access by is a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say it so close? Because He knows what you're thinking. He knows the motive why you're praying. He knows the innermost being of you. So, you know, you're talking to somebody that knows you more than sometimes you know yourself. So that's a pretty close relationship, isn't it? And oh, how we need to talk to someone who knows us that well, amen? He knows us. And how we need to talk and communicate, and what a great privilege we have to be able to talk to the Lord. You know, we have access to the throne room of God. Yes, the Spirit of God indwells us, but also the Spirit of God intercedes for us. The Son intercedes, and we have access to the throne room of God through our great high priest, the book of Hebrews says, and that is touched with our emotions. He feels what we feel. And we have access because that high priest not only intercedes, but he was the sacrifice that made it all possible, what Miss Linda sang about so beautifully a minute ago. So what a privilege we have, because we have access to the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus, because the veil was ripped from top to bottom. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. The sacrifice was offered in the heavenly tabernacle. And now you and I, the common person, you and I, a sinful person, you and I now can go to the throne room of God, all because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. What an access we have. What an awesome privilege and opportunity that you and I must not take lightly. So it's essential to a healthy relationship with the Lord. And what a privilege, what an opportunity, what a duty, what a responsibility we have in prayer as born-again believers. Why is it such a responsibility, an opportunity? When we pray, it could change you. When you pray, when we pray, it can change our family. When we pray, it can change your friends. And when we pray, it could change the world. When God's people humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways and seek the Lord's face and pray, it can change the world. Today we're looking at the subject of intercessory prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. I know this text of Scripture. Sunday school. And Brother Paul is in the hospital, so that family is there. But he taught a great lesson about prayer. And I wish I could have recorded some of the things he said and just repeat it. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here the Apostle Paul is saying we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for all saints. He is finishing up, speaking about the putting on the armor of God and being in the armor and being in Christ. Each piece speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in a spiritual battle. And you know what? If you're ever served in the military or been in the army, you know that to be successful, you got to be a team. You got to watch your buddy, right? You got to watch the person next to you. You need to protect each other, because you're in a, if you've ever been in combat, you are to protect each other and watch out for each other, because as a team and as a unit, you can move forward and defeat the enemy. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle today. If you don't think you're in a spiritual battle, you need to wake up, because you're asleep in it. And we are in a spiritual battle, and we are to put on the full armor of God and fight against the wiles of the devil. And we need to pray for one another, because most of our battle, folks, is when we are praying. That's when we go on the offensive, when we pray and praise the Lamb that is worthy of all praise and interceding for one another. And that is helping to protect each other. And you know, we're praying and protecting because we are in this spiritual battle and we are in outright combat against the enemy, because he's after us. He's after every one of us. So, oh, how we need to lift each other up in prayer, because it changes us and it can change others. So, the Apostle Paul is saying, pray for all the saints. For all the saints. Now, the saints, folks, is not a person we pray to. Biblically speaking, read it in the Bible. Saints are born-again believers. You're a saint. We are saints. And we need to pray for all the saints. It's not a special person that we're praying to. But we're praying for each other. And we're praying through Jesus Christ. He is the high priest. So we are to lift up each other because we are in a spiritual battle. And the Apostle Paul also asked for the church to pray for him. So not only is he saying we need to intercede for each other, but intercede for himself. So it's okay, folks, to ask someone, please pray for me. You know that? If you're sick, ask someone to pray for you. Go to the doctor. And if you're happy, just say, I have a praise. It's okay. It should not be a bother for you to ask someone to pray for you. And if it is bothering them, then they need to do a double check, because we are to pray for each other. Now, if you stub your toe tonight at midnight because you had to get up out of the bed, I don't want to pray for you then for a stubbed toe. Okay? But when you're sick and you're in need, ask the church to pray for you. That is okay. That is nothing to be embarrassed about, because we are in a spiritual battle. If you're having a hard time in your life, it's okay to ask a mature Christian or a group of mature Christians to pray for you. You pray, but also ask others to pray. If the Apostle Paul ask the church to pray for him, I think it's okay for you and I to ask also. Amen? So, do not be ashamed, because we are in this together. We're in this walk together with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do have an enemy. So, the Apostle Paul says, pray for me. He specifically asked to pray that he'll be able to speak boldly to the ones he was around. Maybe he was around a lot of Roman soldiers there, and he needed to speak boldly to them or to speak boldly to the churches. So he specifically asked for prayer. Now, here are some examples of intercessory prayer. We're talking about praying for one another, interceding for one another. One example, of course, is Abraham. You know, God told Abraham, I'm fixing to wipe out Sodom because their sin stinks before me and it's evil. And he said, I'm fixing to destroy Sodom. And Abraham's nephew Lot and his family was there. So he began to intercede and began to ask, Lord, if there's 50, if there's however many righteous there, will you still destroy? And God said, I would not destroy. But there was not that many there. But yet, because of Abraham interceding, God did deliver Lot and his two daughters before he brought wrath down. So that's an example of interceding. Moses, a leader there in the wilderness, God said, I'm tired of them griping and complaining. I'm fixing to wipe them out and start over. And Moses said, oh God, you can't do that. Because the whole world would say, you brought your children to the wilderness just to slay them. And God repented, or God turned from his wrath, because Moses interceded on behalf of the people. Another example of intercession is King David. After he had sinned with Bathsheba, she bore a child, and that child was born sick. And David prayed for that child. It was his child. And he prayed and he prayed. He fasted and prayed. And you know what happened? The child died. The child died. And he got up, ate, cleaned up, and said, "The child can't come to me now, but someday I will go where that child is." But he was a great man of prayer, not a perfect man. He sinned, but he confessed and repented. And he interceded for that child and interceded for that child. And it changed him. Another example, of course, is the Apostle Paul. He prayed for the Jews. He even prayed and said in Romans, the book of Romans, that he wished himself be accursed than his brethren. And he interceded for the Jews. He interceded for the mission churches. And he asked the churches to pray for him. And this is intercessory praying for one another prayer. It's coming alongside. It's like being a Barnabas and say, "I'm praying for you. I'm going to lift you up in prayer." And it brings encouragement, encourage to the ones you're praying for. Interceding for others. You know, there are some special groups we ought to pray for as born-again believers. First group we should pray for is our enemies. Our enemies. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says this, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who try to hinder your witness. Pray, even pray for those enemies who are killing Christians today. I'm a lot like Phil Robertson. I'd rather lead them to Christ with God's Word, but I'm also prepared for something else. Amen? But we need to pray for them that God, that they'll turn to the God of the Bible. And we need to pray for those who are trying to hinder Christ's witness in America today. We need to pray for those who are wrapped up in sin. Just this weekend, a TV show that we even bragged about, Alicia and I, a few times. And I'll say it, Blue Bloods. You know, clean show, a family that prayed. They didn't believe it like I do. And would you believe on that family show, just this previous, they were pushing the homosexual agenda just flat out in your face? So I'm not going to brag on them no more. It's a shame you can't brag on a TV show, because the next time it's on, it'll be something ungodly about it. But we need to pray. Pray for those who are against the gospel. We need to pray for Christian workers. Pray for Christian servants. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18 says, "Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably." So pray. Pray for your ministers. Pray for the deacons. Pray for your teachers. Pray for one another. And certainly pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for rulers, our leaders in our country. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. This is another group we ought to pray. Now, I'd love to, I pray for our president. Amen. You need to pray for our president, all of our leaders, but I sure would like to talk to them too. Amen. We need to pray for them. "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving up thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So pray for our leaders. Pray for that authority that God has placed upon our leadership and upon government to protect us and to enforce the law. So pray for them. Also pray for the backslider. Pray for the backslider. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that, but we need to pray for the backslider. We need to lift him up in prayer. And most of all, there is a time to judge. I've shared with you about that. But when we pray, first of all, we confess. We need to take the trees out of our own eyes, confess before God, repent of our sin, and then pray for the backslider. Pray for the lost that may be in your family or your neighbors or in our church. Fervently pray for them. Also, title the message, let's pray for one another. We're teaching through James on Wednesday nights. Turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. I want to share with you a little bit about this verse. Now, there are conditions. Lord willing, I thank the Lord. Pray for me this week so I'll know for sure. But I think the Lord is leading me to pray on to preach on the conditions of prayer. You know, we need to abide in Him. Of course, we go in His name and in the Spirit and according to His will. But that's a whole different message. But let's pray for one another. Confess. Make your heart right before a holy God. Verse 16, James chapter 5. Confess your trespasses to one another. Confess them to God. If you've done somebody wrong, confess it to them. And ask for forgiveness. Repent. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Everyone say, pray for one another. All right, you with me now. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, this is in context of praying for the sick and confessing before one another. But we are to pray for one another. You see, and as it says here, and it means to confess. When we confess our sins before God, then it heals us. It heals our mind, our soul, our emotions. And if you think about it again, say, oh God, I know you forgive me, but keep forgiving me. And keep confessing until you're healed. And if you have hurt someone, confess before them and repent to them, because you want your prayer. When we pray for one another, we need to have a heart, a loving heart, to lift them up in prayer. Because we want to pray for people and not prey on people. Amen? So pray for one another. Pray for these groups of people. And I believe if God's people will fervently pray and confess before God, things will change. And we'll at least, be dynamic witnesses for the kingdom of God. Amen? Pray for one another. And I want to say this. Some of you in here, there's people praying for you. There's people in this community. I've been here long enough. I know a lot of unspokens. I know what they're about. It's for someone to accept Christ. You're pleading and have begged God that His Holy Spirit will woo their heart and that they would come to repentance before a holy God. I know. Some of you in here right now, if you go to hell, if you choose to go to hell, it is because you have crawled over many, many prayers that people have lifted up for you. You're going to crawl over the cross of Jesus Christ. You're going to crawl over that love that God demonstrated at that cross. Some going to have to crawl over the prayers of your mama, your family, your daddy, the church. You're going to have to fight your way to hell. Do you know what? If you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and personally follow Him, that's where you're going. I don't care how good you are or been or what you've done. If you don't know Jesus personally, you're going to hell over the prayers of many people, loving people that loved you enough to pray for you. It's your decision. I mean, I don't want to sound harsh in any way, but if you choose to go to hell, that's what you got to climb over. And some of you are climbing over it. Some of you have hardened your heart for years and won't turn to Christ because of pride, I guess. You got to crawl over lots of prayers because this is a praying church. This is a praying church. So I beg you again, come to Christ. Come to Jesus today. Follow Him. And brother, sister, let's pray for one another and pray for me. Amen? We're fixing to have an invitation. We're inviting you to respond this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to just have a special time at the altar in prayer. That's between you and the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, again, what a privilege we have to pray to You. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will woo hearts. And Lord, at this time, we lift up these names to You that we're praying for. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'll do a mighty work of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.